It's the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Grande. And we've got over 800 brand new Mazdas with outstanding incentives, like low monthly lease payments and low APR financing. Yep, it's just a great time to buy. So don't miss the Memorial Day sales event at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Financing on approval of credit.
Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley,
this is CUDA Confidential,
the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
Hello, Barracuda fans, and welcome to another edition of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger. In this episode, we'll recap the last three games with highlights, and we'll chat with Barracuda forward Jasper Weatherby. On Saturday, the Barracuda began a home and road with the Stockton Heat to round out their 10-game season series with their Northern California rival. Just 1 minute and 8 seconds into the opening period at the Stockton Arena, Mason Yopst, in just his third game in a Barracuda sweater, would find the back of the net to get things started.
It was Kevin Gravel, the veteran blue liner, who teed it up from the point. Barracuda back through center. Yopst guides to the line. Peterson works in, and a blocker save. Big rebound! They score! Mason Yopst has his first in a Barracuda sweater as he cleans up the big juicy rebound and fires it past Dustin Wolf, and the Barracuda draw first blood on their first shot of the night. It comes 1 minute and 8 seconds in.
Unfortunately, after the goal by Yopst, the Stockton Heat would score the next seven unanswered goals. At 7:24, Connor Zeri would find the back of the net for his 10th of the year.
On the penalty kill, Valimaki left wing side, top circle. Kirkland shot off the post, and he scores. What a snipe by Justin Kirkland. He's got goals in back-to-back games. Points now at 6 straight. And the time of the goal at the 7:24 mark.
Then at 18:56, down a man, Itu Tulola would carry the puck down the right wing and beat Zach Sochenko short side to give Stockton its first lead of the game.
Barracuda have been susceptible over the last three games on the power play, and they've given up another shorthanded goal. Sochenko had not sealed the near post, and Tulola beats him, and the Heat have taken a 2-1 lead.
Sochenko suffered a lower body injury in the first period and was unable to return in the second, meaning Alex Stalock would relieve Sochenko in the middle period. At 14:34, again Tulola would find the back of the net to give Stockton a 3-1 lead.
One goal lead. DeSimone shot it towards the net, didn't get through. The body's in front. Now Goldborn changes direction. Threw it in front. There's a chance. Great stop, and the rebound cleaned up. They score. Tulola's got consecutive goals, and the pressure continued to mount, and finally it boils over.
Then in 18:46 of the second period, Matt Phillips would light the lamp with his team-leading 26th of the year to give the Heat a 4-1 advantage. In the third, Stockton would score three more times. Glenn Godden would light the lamp at 2:52. Then Phillips would score again at 11:17, his 27th, and Adam Rzeczka, with just 15 seconds remaining in regulation, would cap off the 7-1 Stockton victory. The following night, the two teams would run it back on Sunday at the SAP Center. At 2:34 the second period, after a scoreless first, veteran captain Byron Fraze would open up the scoring with his 18th of the year.
Near side, Matt Phillips. Back, Walensky. Phillips will twist it to Walensky, fakes the shot, left wing side, Pospisil thrown in front, off the post, and somehow, now it's in, didn't go in initially, and the Heat score. That puck bounced around in the crease, and finally it's tucked in, and Stockton draws first blood here in the opening frame.
At 2:40 of the second period, Connor Zeri would give the Heat a bit of insurance with his second goal in his many games, in his 11th of the year.
Take a 1-0 lead. Heat aren't done, Zeri's shot scores! Connor Zeri right off the ensuing faceoff, right down Main Street, and he beats Alex Stalock. Two shots, two goals for the Heat.
In the third period, the Barracuda would finally break through on the power play and cut into Stockton's lead at 1:38, as Artemi Kinyazov would pound one in from the point to make it a 2-1 score.
To the left point, Kinyazov's shot, same eight, puck was loose, it comes back to the point, Kinyazov, he'll try again, he scores! Artemi Kinyazov, his first shot was blocked. He did not hesitate, and a frozen rope from the midpoint beats Dustin Wolf, and the Barracuda on their fifth power play finally break.
Unfortunately, the Barracuda were never able to tie the game up, and at 19:03, Justin Kirkland would seal the victory with an empty netter. The Barracuda would return back to the ice for one game on the road, an early start, a 10:30 puck drop at the Mechanics Bank Arena in Bakersfield. After no goals were scored through the first 19 minutes of the first period, Yanni Caldas would get things started on the power play for the Condors.
It's around the wall, Perlini shovels it down low for Malone. He centers Cracknell, hurried Holloway, back Caldas, shot scored! Alex Stalock never went down. He never saw the shot get funneled towards the net.
Then in the second period, Bakersfield would add on to its lead. While shorthanded, James Hamblin would cash in his 18th of the year and his 7th against the Barracuda.
And it's taken away by Niemelainen and lugged back through center. Barracuda a little bit out of sorts on this power play. Hamblin trying to seam a pass, got it back. He's going to score a shorthanded goal. James Hamblin on the backhand. And the Condors take a 2-0 lead.
In the third, down by two, the Barracuda would begin its comeback. Joachim Blichfeldt on the team's fifth power play would light the lamp with his 23rd of the year and his 12th on the man advantage. The 12 goals on the power play this season set a new single-season franchise record, which was previously set by Danny O'Regan back in the 2016-17 season.
Al Kinyazov. His wrister through traffic, same main, Skinner, another chance! They score! Joachim Blichfeldt gets a rebound and pots it under the crossbar on the short side.
Down by a goal, Jaden Holmgewachs would manage to tie the score up at 15:33 with his 17th of the year.
Holmgewachs, he has it, works in, Holmgewachs! He scores!
The game would need overtime, and in the extra session, it was the Condors who would find a way to get that second point. Seth Griffith, with his 23rd of the year and his second overtime winner on the season, would score at the 1:48 mark to seal the Bakersfield 3-2 victory.
To the backhand, has a step, works in, scores! Oh my goodness, what a finish by Seth Griffith! Who walked his way in on net and beats Alex Stalock under the crossbar.
The Barracuda returned back to the SAP Center on Sunday night at 6 o'clock to welcome in the Henderson Silver Knights for back-to-back games. A reminder, the Sharks are in action on Saturday, meaning you can listen to our game strictly at sjbarracuda.com/listen through the Sharks Plus SAP Center app, and also you can watch at ahltv.com. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jasper Weatherby, Barracuda forward. This is Cuda Confidential.
Hear that?
Opportunity for the hat trick!
That's Barracuda Hockey, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks, and tickets start at just $10. Join us for family fun at the SAP Center by going to sjbarracuda.com/tickets.
We are pleased to be joined by Barracuda forward Jasper Weatherby. Jasper, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. How are things going?
Things are going really well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. It's been fun watching you this season. It's your first year within the organization full-time as a player. You were drafted a handful of years ago, but it's that first year really where you're able to ingratiate yourself with the community and within the organization. You started with the Sharks. You've been with the Barracuda a little bit here and there. You're with the team currently as we record this interview, but just give us your overall assessment on how the season has gone. Your first season of pro almost in the books. And I would say it's a pretty successful season. You've played over 40 games in the NHL, but give us your assessment on how things have gone from your standpoint.
Yeah, it's been really good. I think, you know, anytime you come to a new organization and take your first year of pro hockey, it's there's going to be ups and downs. And for me, it's just kind of, you know, being a sponge and trying to learn as much as I can and keep developing and just growing my habits as a pro player.
We'll go back to your college career a little bit, but I do want to ask, you were thought maybe to go back to North Dakota this past year, finish up your collegiate career as a senior. Now, that doesn't happen a ton for guys who are drafted. They tend to skip that final season. That's due to some contract stuff. But the thought process peel back the curtain for us. What influenced that decision? Now, of course, the Sharks, them wanting to sign you, I'm sure was a big influence, but was that a tough decision to forego your senior season and turn pro, or was that something that you had looked forward to for a long time and it was a pretty easy call?
A little bit of both, I think. I initially had decided to go back to school, show up to development camp and realized, you know, I'm pretty much ready. So I felt like the best thing to do for me, for myself, was to kick off my first year of pro. I think obviously when you leave a program like North Dakota, you know, you miss a lot of things about that. But again, you know, I'm really happy I got to, you know, get my feet wet and learn a lot about the program.
What during development camp and then the rookie tournament as well, you played really well. I think you had a goal in each game, at least a couple of goals. But what about those experiences kind of made you feel like, you know, I am ready for maybe the next level? And did you use those, the development camp and the rookie tournament, as measuring sticks on where your game was compared to some of your peers?
Yeah, I think anytime you get an opportunity, even when you're a young kid, to play against really talented players at an kind of an event like that, you get to kind of measure yourself and see how you're doing. So I think that was kind of eye-opening for me. And I think that the coaching staff and managers here kind of felt the same. So for me, it was kind of like, all right, if I'm going to make a stand for myself and make, you know, try to play pro hockey, this is going to be the right time. And, you know, I think when, you know, preparation and opportunity meet, you get something pretty, pretty special.
I know one of the big things when you first signed, what the organization talked about was physically, you were no doubt ready. You're 6'4", over 200 pounds, played college hockey for 3 years, able to build up your body from a physical standpoint. Did you feel that same way? Like physically, not only from a skill standpoint, from a mental standpoint, but physically, I feel like I'd handle the rigors of the professional game.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have that expectation when you come in. And then you learn pretty quickly that, you know, you're battling in a corner with Brent Burns and you're not a physical specimen anymore. So you have a lot of work to do. But I think that, you know, learning those lessons quickly and trying to figure out how you can adapt as a player, as a person, as a pro, to come back and make some changes. You know, there's no better experience than, you know, experience.
Let's go back to when it all started. You're a native of Ashland, Oregon. Oregon has not produced very many hockey players in the history of the NHL. You're one of a very, very small few. And I believe when you were in college hockey, you were the only player in the Division I level from the state of Oregon. So what was hockey like as a young kid? I know we've talked about this a little bit off air. You were introduced to the game by a friend and it just happened by osmosis. But take us all the way back when you're a young kid, your first introduction to the sport, falling in love with the sport, and how everything just kind of came to be where all of a sudden you're a hockey player from the state of Oregon.
Yeah, I think that growing up, I tried to play all sorts of sports. I loved, you know, competing, whether it was cards with my family or street basketball with my brother. I tried to do everything. And I think that I kind of gravitated towards hockey. It's a really small hockey market in Oregon, but it's a really passionate kind of family atmosphere. You go to the rink, you see the same people. You skate, you know, I'd skate with guys who were 70 years old and I was, you know, 10 years old and drop-ins and stuff. So it's like a really, it's a kind of a family atmosphere. There's a lot of passionate people. So I was really lucky to be from there. Obviously growing up, you realize you're not from a hockey hotbed. So I kind of challenged myself to maybe pave a way for younger kids who, you know, maybe that's the belief that they need, that, hey, someone else did it, so I can do it too.
I knew you grew up a big Sharks fan. We'll talk a little bit about that fandom, but being from Oregon, you're not all that far away from San Jose. You're kind of right at the border, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's what, only like a 6-hour drive or something like that to get to San Jose. Yeah. Would that be right?
Yeah, less than 6 hours.
Less than 6 hours. So if you think about it, you're technically closer to San Jose than someone coming from Los Angeles. So you think of Oregon as being so far away, it's really not all that far away. But did you have an opportunity to watch the Sharks? Was that your TV market? Like, how did you get introduced to the Sharks as the team that you rooted for?
Yeah. So when we started doing kind of travel tournaments as a young kid, we used to do the Silver Stick down here in San Jose and other tournaments around this area. And we'd always try to come to hockey games. San Jose is the first NHL game I ever went to. And I actually tell people my stepdad's from down here and he's had season tickets since they were a franchise, which is pretty cool. So I think just being around Sharks hockey since I was a young kid, coming to the practice facility and skating on the, you know, playing tournaments there, skating there. And yeah, I was really lucky up in Oregon. It's, you know, everyone roots for the Sharks.
So growing up in Oregon, we talked about it being a kind of an unorthodox area for hockey. When did you realize that you were pretty good at it? Because I'm sure there was that moment, that teetering moment where you knew you were good, maybe better than the local competition, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, am I that good? Am I as good as kids who want to play in the NHL or play Division I hockey? Like, when did you come to the realization that I'm pretty good, and I'm not just good for my area, but I'm pretty good overall?
I don't know if I ever came to that realization. I guess I just kind of tried to always challenge myself against the best players in my organize or in Oregon. I was pretty lucky to play some tournaments up in Canada. I think when I was around 13 or 14, and I realized pretty quickly, like, there's some unbelievable players out there who are at my age. So my kind of mindset was always, how do I focus on the next day and the next week and the next month, trying to make myself better every day, challenging myself. So I don't know if I really had a realization, but it was just, I think, just kind of consistently working at it.
So tell us about your developmental path. I know you went from Oregon to Omaha. You played AAA hockey in Omaha. I know they have a USHL team too, so you elected to not play for the USHL team. You come back towards the West Coast. You play the BCHL with Wenatchee. From Wenatchee, you go on to North Dakota, of course, drafted by the Sharks. So in your own words, take us through your developmental path and how you ended up now here in San Jose.
Yeah. So I realized kind of leaving eighth grade that if I wanted to, you know, follow my dreams, I was going to have to leave. So I actually spent 2 years in Ottawa, Ontario, at a small like school up there. Realized quickly that most kids in Ontario wanted to play in the OHL. Me and my family were pretty set on college was going to be a destination for myself. So I elected to come to Omaha. Again, I feel like every time I've taken a changed or moved or, you know, you kind of come up against that next wave of really good players. And so mentally and physically, how can you adapt? How can you become a better player and play in this? Spent 2 years in Omaha. It was great for my development, a lot of hockey. And then, yeah, I went to Wenatchee, which is kind of, I feel like, where I kind of started coming on the map as a player, and was lucky enough to get a Division I, you know, scholarship and commitment, and was lucky enough to get drafted by the Sharks.
Before we go into committing and playing at North Dakota, right in your backyard is Western Hockey League territory, and you said that your family was pretty dead set on playing college hockey. Being though that you wanted to get to the highest level, play in the NHL, in your mind, did you ever think about the WHL? Did you ever think about the Portland Winterhawks, or was that just not even an option?
I went to some games for sure. But I'm a, you know, ever since I was younger, I knew I was a little bit of a late bloomer. And I realized quickly that college gives you 3 to 4 more years to kind of hone your craft before you're have to, you know, make that decision. Also while kind of building up, you know, an education and building your kind of, you know, mental state all in the same area. So, while I did get, you know, recruited for a couple, WHL teams, it was always coming for me. Like, I want to do college. It's going to give me, I think, the best opportunity to be ready when the pros call.
Tell us about Wenatchee. What type of junior hockey experience was that?
Yeah, I think that for people who don't really know, Wenatchee is probably the biggest hidden gem in the junior hockey world. From, you know, the ownership to management to coaches, they really treat players, you know, really well. And they give they give kids the opportunities, to move on to the next level. I think that without Wenatchee, I'm probably not sitting here talking to you. I, you know, stay in contact with that organization, still to this day.
You guys won a championship. What was that run like? I know we've talked about this a little bit. Your season prior, you felt like you almost had a better group, but everything came together that following year. You guys go on a run, you win it all. But, what was that all about? What was that experience like?
Yeah, it was a really good experience. I think my first year we were like stacked, had a lot of really kind of older veteran players who were really good. We went into the playoffs, I think, as the number one seed, and we ended up losing in the second round. I think is unique about the BCHL. I don't know if they still do it now, but they used to do it back in the day, is every series is 7 games. So very similar to NHL. And yeah, we ended up losing in the second round to a really good team. And, you know, we lost almost our entire roster. And the second year we came back, we really struggled. But I think sometimes people don't realize that, you know, through struggle, you can actually learn a lot about, you know, yourself, and you can grow from that. And we kind of went into playoffs a little shaky and had some really kind of heart to hearts with the team and, you know, how can we come together? And yeah, the rest is winning a championship with that group. So something I'll remember forever.
So you go on to North Dakota, prestigious Division I hockey program. It's a little bit far from home, probably a little bit of a culture shock from what you were used to in the Dakotas all of a sudden. But what about North Dakota was an intriguing destination for you? And were there other schools that were in the thought process in the conversation? But again, how'd you settle on North Dakota?
Yeah, there was big culture shock, I think, for sure. It's really cold and flat up there, and I'm from a small mountain town. So yeah, I settled on North Dakota. I just wanted somewhere that was going to allow me to continue growing as a athlete and really dedicated to hockey while also adding that, you know, educational component. I think people sometimes get kind of hung up on where their degrees are from. I think all colleges, all universities do an unbelievable job. So for me, it wasn't about trying to pick the most prestigious university. It was about picking somewhere that could help me grow with hockey and had, you know, the resources to also help my education.
So that year before you go to North Dakota, that summer, you're drafted by the Sharks in the fourth round. Not only are you drafted, but you're drafted by the team that you grew up rooting for. What was draft day like? Did you have any idea the Sharks were going to be a team that were interested? And then once you found out it was the Sharks, I'm sure that had to be the thrill of a lifetime.
Yeah. So that year I had a pretty successful year, and I think we won a championship. And I think anytime that you can do well as a team, people look at that and say, you know, that's someone we want in our organization. So as the season was going, I was talking to more and more teams. Never actually talked to the Sharks. I think I talked to almost every other team. And yeah, going into draft day, I honestly didn't think I was going to get drafted. And if I was, it was probably going to be pretty late. So I didn't go to the draft. I was actually at school training in North Dakota. I was actually at a training session in the gym and looked over at the TV and saw that one of my current teammates, or I guess one of my teammates and juniors, had gone to the Vegas Golden Knights. And then, you know, I was awesome. I was really excited about to send him a text, and, you know, two or three picks later, I kind of saw my name there and I was like, you know, wow, that's pretty crazy. So, called my dad and mom, and, yeah, it was a really special day.
So once you're drafted by the Sharks, of course you begin and embark on your college career. That first season at North Dakota, just the three goals, but every year you gradually improved your offensive output, and I'm sure physically, mentally, everything continued to grow as you proceeded in your career. Tell us a little bit about the development, though, that you felt like you acquired during your time and how your game evolved too during your time at North Dakota.
Yeah, I think, as I mentioned earlier, kind of every step you take is a new challenge. So kind of wrapping your head around how can you get better and what do you need to do to be successful at that level. So yeah, it wasn't the best first year, but I think it's, you know, maybe not how you start, it's how you finish. So every year I kind of looked at myself and how can I improve? I believe I went in there at around 190 pounds, you know, real scrawny kid. And I was able to leave at about 220. So I really kind of tried to take advantage of everything they offered us.
So how did the family settle on Oregon? Fill us in on kind of the path on how you guys got to Oregon. Because it's not a straight path, right? Both your parents are not originally from there.
Yeah, I know. My dad immigrated over from England when he was about 20 years old. My mom was on the East Coast. And I guess some point my family decided to head over to Oregon for big mountains and small towns. So yeah, they, you know, headed over there, and my mom still lives there now. My dad's lives up still in Oregon, but north a little bit. So yeah.
I'm guessing your dad is probably a soccer fan of some sort, involved in the game in some capacity. Were there other sports that you played beyond hockey as a kid?
Yeah, you name it, I probably played it. From, you know, basketball with my brother and his friends and my friends outside to pickleball, tennis, swimming. I played football. I played soccer. I was kind of a sports junkie as a kid. And I guess I just decided to stick with hockey.
So who is the guy that you idolized as a kid? Who was a player that you, from a hockey standpoint, that you thought, man, I want to play like him?
Play like him would be cool, but Crosby, as I think the first year that I came into hockey was kind of his draft year. So, you know, he was the mecca of hockey at that time. And I remember it was either you liked Crosby or you liked Ovechkin, and all my, me and my friends were all Crosby, you know, Crosby fans.
So you don't wear number 87 in honor of Sidney Crosby, but why did you settle on number 26? Was that a number that was given to you, or is that a number that you ended up choosing?
Given to me.
Given to you. So what number did you wear again in college?
14.
Do you have any sort of superstitions when it comes to numbers, or is it just like, I don't care, give me whatever?
No. Nope. Yeah, I'll wear whatever. I'm not too picky.
So going into the Sharks organization this year, you made the team out of training camp, and not only do you make the team, but you score and you pick up an assist in your NHL debut. Could you have asked for a more storybook start to your career?
And we got the win. I think that that's important too. No, I couldn't. I couldn't have asked for anything better. I think that, yeah, it was awesome. And I had, you know, so many family and friends down there, and it was like, it was just, I think, an awesome moment for everybody. Cause like I said, I stand on the shoulders of those around me. And, I think that for them to be there and experience it, was really cool.
We've talked about this for a couple of months. We're going to do it. We're locking it in. We're going to go surfing one of these days.
Yes.
I know you like boogie boarding, but we're going to get you into surfing as well. And it's something I think that if you're going to be living in California, close enough to the coast, it's a must. You've got to learn to surf. You've got to at least try it a couple of times. But what are other things that you like to do away from hockey when you're not thinking about the sport? What things do you like to do for fun?
I love being outdoors. I think, you know, I grew up fishing a ton, hiking, backpacking, camping. So those are things I like to do. I always say that, you know, me and the guy who introduced me to hockey, one of my childhood best friends, we try to take a fishing trip every year. We did salmon fishing, I think last year, and now we want to do a backpacking trip in Idaho, I think. So that's stuff I love to do. You know, other than that, you know, walking the dogs, you know, going out to restaurants, stuff like that, just kind of the normal things.
We're talking to Barracuda 4, Jasper Weatherby, fishing. What's the biggest fish that you've ever caught?
Probably a salmon, I think. Yeah. I grew up doing a lot of salmon fishing off the coast of Oregon, and, was lucky enough to reel in a nice big one, last summer. So,
we're recording this now in April, and I could be mistaken, but I have friends that I follow on Instagram and they're big fishers, and I believe that they're catching salmon right now. So the window must be open. Fishing, salmon season must be open right now. Have you thought about doing any fishing out here on the California coast? Have you looked into that at all?
Yeah, I've actually looked into it. I think with our schedule, it's going to be pretty hard to book a trip. But definitely, you know, maybe sometime I'd love to go do some, you know, some deep sea fishing or whatever. It'd be awesome.
So as you look back on your first year, now we've still got a little bit to go, but as you look back on your first year and you have that ability to take a deep breath and digest and recalibrate and reflect a little bit on that first season, what do you think the thoughts are going to be after your first year finally comes to a full conclusion?
Yeah, I think that you just have to really try to improve on all those things you said. I think, you know, mentally, how can you come in and approach it as a pro? You play a lot more games than you do in college. You're on the road a lot more. You know, how can you build up your body in the off season and just be ready to you know, hit the ice and get going right away in training camp?
I know you were a marketing major during your college time. You don't have to worry right now. You don't have to worry about it right now. And hopefully you don't have to think about it for a while. But if you were not playing hockey, what do you think you'd be doing?
Something in business, I think. I still love business. I always try to work on some projects and still, you know, finishing my degree here. So, yeah, I come from a bunch of small entrepreneur family, you know, family and friends, they all do that. And something I like to take my mind off is working on business plans and projects and stuff. So, yeah, it's been exciting.
So that may be the answer, maybe a business class. But what was your favorite class at North Dakota? Is the one that really kind of stuck out?
Ooh, I think I took an entrepreneurial class, and that was really interesting. You know, kind of trying to figure out how you start a business, do market research, just kind of walks you through that. I think that, you know, some of the classes I'm going to take this summer will be really exciting because you get into that kind of high level marketing stuff. And I'm really excited for that.
Jasper Weatherby, Sharks, Barracuda 4. We can't thank you enough, man. It's been great getting to meet you this year. You're a great guy. I think Sharks fans, not only from their experience getting to see you up top of the big club, but just down the road, they're going to be really happy about having you in the organization, because one of the big things this organization looks for is not just good hockey players, but good people. And it's pretty evident so far during our time having you with the Barracuda that you're a good guy. And we appreciate, again, the time. And best of luck down this final stretch of the season. Finish strong, and good luck going into year number two as well.
Thank you. Can't wait to hit the waves, sir.
Let's do it, man.
Appreciate it.
A big thank you to Jasper Weatherby for joining us. And a reminder, the Barracuda return back to the ice on Saturday at the SAP Center for a 6 o'clock puck drop against the Henderson Silver Knights. We'll have pregame coverage starting at 5:30 at sjbarracuda.com/listen through the Sharks Plus SAP Center app presented by Western Digital. And you can watch the game at ahltv.com. That'll do it for this episode of CUDA Confidential. I'm Nick Nolenberger saying thanks for listening and so long until next time.